Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
This is Patriots Playbook.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
Next Sunday's game.
Want to go odd. 5, Patriots Playbook. 51 mirror.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL season.
Stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
And some of the fun stuff in between.
Even. 51 grapes. Even. 51 grapes.
And now... he's John Rook.
Oh, let's go, let's go.
Good afternoon, Patriots fans. Welcome to Patriots Playbook. I am your special guest host today, filling in for John Rook, Mike Parenti. And with me is my co-pilot, Mr. John Anderade, a.k.a. Buddy Love from WSKO 790 The Score in Providence. I want to thank Gary Grudecki for writing down the name of the show for me because I would have forgotten it in about 15 minutes. Thank you, Gary. John, it's good to have you here. How are you doing?
Doing great. Great to be invited into such a palatial studio.
Can I call you Buddy all day? Is that
you
cool?
Please call
all
me
right,
Buddy.
Buddy's a lot easier than John.
I haven't
it
been
just rolls off the tongue well. Buddy. Buddy Love.
It makes it easier. And not only that, I haven't been John since I was like six.
And that's so how the ladies know you, great. Too. The ladies call you Buddy Love, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, that was the amateur porn days. Let's not get into
it. Well, we don't want to disappoint the lady viewers. Today we have a lot of good stuff today. We're going to talk about the matchup this weekend against the Buffalo Bills at Ralph Wilson Stadium, 8 p.m. game that's been moved to primetime as part of the NFL's flex schedule. We're going to talk about the next 7 weeks, too, Buddy. Who can beat this team? Can somebody beat this team? We're also going to have plenty of sound from the locker room, plenty of sound from Bill Belichick and conference calls today with Dick Geron and Bills quarterback J.P. Lossman, who, by the way, is getting the start on Sunday. Back-to-back fourth-quarter comebacks in each of the last 2 weeks. Have you watched Lossman a little bit? What have you seen from him so far?
I watched a lot of the Bills-Dolphins game this past Sunday. Let's put it simply, a very vanilla and boring game.
Sloppy game, yeah.
You know, down 10-2, the Bills were able to put together a drive. Marshawn Lynch.
Been phenomenal.
He's great.
Been phenomenal.
I mean, there's times he gets a 5-yard gain and you can't believe he got 5 yards behind that line. Very impressed with that. Getting in on the 2-point conversion. An ankle injury. If he doesn't go, it's going to be Dwayne Wright. It won't be the A-train, Anthony Thomas.
They're going to have some problems if he can't go. But they're saying he looks pretty good. He should be ready to be out there on the field on Sunday. That's my guess. I can't see any scenario where he does not play. But I will say this. On Monday, I talked to my buddy Ed Berliner, formerly of Comcast Network. He's at his own little website now, speedandbulletnetwork.com.
Patriots Football Weekly, nice. You've been told, today.
Good sound there from Mr. Big Red Ed. He had me on his website. I did a little bit of audio for him. I was talking about the matchups. And 2 days later, here we are, buddy, on Wednesday, and I've changed my mind about everything. Now, I am flip-flopping like John Kerry here. First, on Monday, I said this team will go undefeated, nobody can beat them, and I'm not impressed with anybody on the schedule that's remaining for the next 7 weeks. And now I'm looking back, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm a little bit too hard on Buffalo. I'm a little bit too hard on Pittsburgh. The Steelers had a rally to beat Cleveland at home. Buffalo had a rally with 11 fourth-quarter points to beat Miami. Am I being a little bit too hard on them? Everybody's entitled to an off week. Every now and then you struggle. Cleveland and Pittsburgh are pretty big rivals. They always play close games. Should I not be getting down to those teams just because they had to eke by some bad teams this past weekend?
Yeah, just in the NFL, the competition level is so high in any week. I mean, we've seen it. Teams can beat teams. I mean, this week you looked at the Saints coming in, 4 straight wins against an 0-8 Rams team, and you're thinking
that's
to yourself,
right.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good point.
They're going to just roll the football out there, and Reggie Bush will score a few touchdowns, and it's over. Well, that's not the case.
Everybody's due for a good week.
And you get those rivalry games. And I mean, Cleveland-Pittsburgh is a natural rivalry. Miami and Buffalo are a big-time rivalry. And these teams are going to play hard against each other and play for something. And it doesn't matter if you're 0-8. You want to roll out there and make the plays and win the game against a team that you probably despise within your division, like Miami does Buffalo.
I'll tell you, looking at this matchup, Buffalo versus New England, I think this might be the toughest one, Buddy. I really do. I see the 1 week layoff from the bye. Maybe they come out a little bit flat on Sunday night. Maybe Buffalo's a little bit charged up. It's a prime time game. They haven't had too many. They did have a Monday night game this year, which they lost to Dallas. But that was the first time in many years, I think, if I'm not correct.
And
right?
Did you see the way that crowd was charged
that
up?
Was
for that
was unbelievable.
Game and
they're
going to
be fired
up
on Sunday night too. They're going to be fired up this weekend, and they should be.
It was a 60-minute effort here. Out of the crowd.
Absolutely.
In Buffalo this past week. That was the 12th man.
And these are all factors. But then I sit back, I open up the paper, I look at the numbers, and I'm thinking, there's no chance. Buffalo is near the bottom of the league in every category, offensively, defensively. Here's a great statistic. The Bills have thrown 4 touchdown passes on offense. One's by Marshawn Lynch. Their quarterbacks have thrown 3 touchdowns. Tom Brady threw 5 touchdowns in a half against Miami.
Yeah, you look at those numbers.
How are they winning games? How is Buffalo winning games?
Well, it's amazing. I was looking at the numbers earlier. They haven't thrown more than 34 passes in one game.
Oh.
One of the biggest numbers, this jumped out at me right off the page, right to me, was Roscoe Parrish averaging over 19 yards a punt return. That's unheard of.
You know what? That's a great lead-in because they are fantastic on special teams. We've seen that. Kick returns, punt returns, punt and kickoff coverage. They don't give a lot, and they get a lot. Field position is very important. When you don't have an offense that can chuck the ball like this team can here in Foxborough, you better have good field position. And Belichick talked about that today. And really, for the last 2 or 3 years, whenever they play Buffalo, he always brings up the fantastic special teams of the Bills, and I think it's a great point. It could be a factor in this game. Now, we're not dealing with a bad special teams scenario or unit here either, but that could be the edge in a close game. If it comes down to the fourth quarter, you get a big punt return from somebody, get the ball to the 50, now you're in business.
So in those years, maybe these teams didn't match up. I look back to, like, 2004, the last year Bledsoe was there. Terrence McGee takes back a kickoff the whole way, turns the game around, and it's a competitive game right down to the end where Bruschi gets the sack, Seymour picks up the fumble and scores the touchdown. I mean, there's going to be weeks where special teams make a difference, and I think this is a week the Patriots have to watch out for special teams plays. They got to avoid the big play in one moment just to spark the crowd and spark the Bills. And for every minute the game's close, the more the Bills think they have a chance of winning this game.
I agree. You know, I don't like to talk about trap games. I don't like that word. So I will stave off that. I will not call this a trap game. I just think this could be one of the toughest ones. I want to remind people the email address here is webradio@patriots.com. And the phone number, if you want to call Buddy and myself, is 508-543-7482. Feel free to give us a ring. We're very friendly. We don't bite. We will not talk down to you. We love everybody. We love all opinions. Isn't that right, Buddy?
It doesn't matter what you think.
I got an email here from Dan Gefkin. Maybe I'm not supposed to give out real names. Sorry. Dan in Charlottesville, Virginia. We'll call him. Forget what you just heard. Anyway, he writes, I understand that the NFL wants as much fan interaction as possible, but they should not allow fans to vote for the Pro Bowl starting in late October or early November when the players they vote for may not turn out to be the best players at their position when the season ends. Shouldn't making the Pro Bowl be a reward for being one of the two or three best at your position in your conference for an entire season? Plus, there is an obvious bias when fans vote strictly for their hometown players, a la Teddy Bruschi. If the coaches, executives, and sports writers had selected last year's Pro Bowl rosters, Asante Samuel would definitely not have been snubbed. That was ridiculous. I don't think Chris McAllister is going to draw any more people to either the Aloha Bowl for the actual game or their televisions on the Sunday after the Super Bowl than Samuel. That's just the first half of his email. I want to address that because I do agree. The Pro Bowl voting now, a little bit of a problem. You're only halfway through the season. But to not allow the fans to vote for it, I've been back and forth on that. We've seen it in baseball. I mean, Cal Ripken was a starter at third base for about 50 years, even in years when he hit about 210. What do you think of that? Fan voting for the Pro Bowl, yay or nay?
Did Cal Ripken get voted last year to start?
I think he did.
Did he not?
That's right.
He was in the Hall of Fame already, so that tells you.
And Ozzie Smith. Ozzie Smith for the National League at shortstop.
They're still waiting for him to do the backflip out there at the All-Star game. But nah, I don't know. I mean, I think they should put the ballots out and let the fans vote. It's mostly a fans' game.
It's their game.
And even
Absolutely. Then,
it's not even really a good game.
No, well, it's at the end of the season, like our emailer pointed out. I mean, it's the Sunday after the Super Bowl, or is it 2 weeks after the Super Bowl?
It's 1 week.
1 week, okay.
Usually the Saturday or the Sunday they flip.
I mean, I'm done with football at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've seen the biggest game.
Especially
and
if my team
done.
Won. I'm still in celebratory mode. I'm not even ready to go back and watch an All-Star game. So I can't even get into that. But I will say this. We got to point out, 7 Patriots lead their respective positions in Pro Bowl voting right now. I think one of them is obviously Tom Brady, Randy Moss. I mean, who do you put on this team for the Pro Bowl? There are so many candidates.
I think Logan Mankins is my leader out of all the guys on this team.
I like that. It's a guy who doesn't get a lot of recognition. It's tough because you have to really watch line play to figure out how good somebody is at his respective position in the trenches. I think Mankins has played real well this year. Moss is an obvious. Tom Brady is an obvious. Larry Izzo on special teams. One of the funny leaders is Chris Hansen, the punter. I haven't even seen the punter all year.
Maybe
they're scoring 40 points a game. I mean, how does anybody know how good Chris Hansen's been?
Now, do you want to be a punter on a great team or a terrible team? Are you out there punting the ball 73 times?
If you love punting, you might want to punt for, like, the Bills.
Yeah.
You come here and punt, it's like Club Med.
There is no better punter in the league than Sean Moorman either.
That's a good point.
You know, there isn't a better guy.
Dan also writes to us, Also, how much weight does the number of Pro Bowls a player is selected to have on their Hall of Fame chances? If Ben Roethlisberger, for example, plays 15 good years in the NFL, doesn't win any more Super Bowls, but only makes 3 Pro Bowls because guys like Brady, Manning, Palmer, etc. are playing in the AFC too, does that diminish his Hall of Fame resume? I think the NFL should institute a much more standardized way of Pro Bowl voting that actually serves the purpose of naming all-stars and doesn't just facilitate idiot homer NFL fans across the country making stupid selections at Buddy Love. No, he doesn't write that. I added that in.
Thanks.
If the NFL wants to keep the Pro Bowl going and make it more relevant, they should start by actually making the invitation to the players mean something. Is he insinuating more money?
More money
Pro
than the
Bowl
winner?
Bonuses? Listen, I don't know if that's going to make any difference on the Hall of Fame. I think the sports writers vote in the Hall of Fame. They know enough about guys to not be fooled by Pro Bowl voting. If Dan from Charlottesville can email us and he knows that it's not indicative of being the best player, then I think the sports writers who vote in the Hall of Fame would know that too. Wouldn't you assume that?
Haven't there been years where guys haven't gone because of injury and we're down to like the seventh
quarterback
in the AFC?
Yeah, I mean, some guys don't even want to go. At that point, you're done. You want to spend some time with your family. You want to go home and just relax and sit by the pool and drink daiquiris.
Who got called last year like 10 minutes before the Pro Bowl? Hey, you can come play in the game. Yeah, I'm going to make it to Hawaii.
Start putting fans on the field. First 50 fans get on the roster as backups.
It's a great idea.
That's an incentive.
Yeah, nothing like
getting leveled. You know what? I appreciate the email from Dan, but I don't get too bent out of shape out of Pro Bowls or All-Star games. I know it counts in baseball for home field and all that stuff. Until they do that with the Pro Bowl, I don't really care.
Yeah, and
plus
it's
the
not
Super Bowl is
a neutral
site
anyway,
so
you
can't
go.
Do it. See, you just corrected me. Good job.
I didn't mean it. I apologize.
I'll be wrong about another 100 times in the show, so just be on your toes here. Again, the email address, webradio@patriots.com, and the phone number is 508-543-7482. Buddy, let me ask you this. Going to Buffalo this weekend, Marshawn Lynch obviously going to be a big factor. The key, would you say, to Buffalo's offense?
Yeah, because anytime you're able to run the ball, it brings the linebackers up and gives you more of that chance to run the play action and hit the plays downfield. And when you have a guy like Lee Evans who can get over the top, if maybe a corner's cheating in, looking into the backfield, and you allow the speed of Evans to get by you, 6 points. And Lossman and Evans seem to have a really good chemistry, and
he was
the guy griping most to get Edwards out of there and get Lossman back
That's
in
right.
when he was healthy.
That's a good point. Yeah, I can see that. You know, they don't have a ton of yards. There's not a ton of numbers to work with there, but they do have that chemistry, I think, and you can hit on a few big plays. You have a chance to win the game, and the only way to do that is the running game. And let's be honest here. Play action is their only chance in the passing game. They're not just going to line up and throw and chuck some deep post patterns here. This is not the kind of offense to do that. Not against this defense either, so I'm not really sure what direction they're going to go in there. But Lynch has been real good. And you know what, too? Adrian Peterson's got a lot of pub over in Minnesota, and rightfully so. I think Lynch has been pretty impressive in his own right. Probably not getting as much attention playing in Buffalo.
Well, he also hasn't run for 296 yards against the Chargers either.
No, he didn't do that either.
That was an unbelievable performance.
Yeah,
last
you know,
week.
Peterson has had some unbelievable games. I got to put him one, but I may put Lynch 1A. In terms of those rookie running backs.
And
he's shown me a lot.
I don't think that hurts to do that. I mean, you can give high marks to both players. They're in opposite conferences. Probably going to be their offensive rookie of the year is in their respective conferences.
Yeah, I agree.
And let me tell you, I was talking to you before this. I think the Bills are big time, a team on the rise to watch out for. I think they're the team that'll threaten the Patriots over the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, certainly before Miami.
Yeah, before Miami.
Let's be realistic, and probably before the Jets.
Yeah, the Jets.
They got to rebuild a little bit here.
The Jets are on a seesaw. Last year they were up high, and the other kid got off the seesaw, and boy, have they bottomed out and hurt themselves.
And their schedule killed them too, and the quarterback situation is not helping either. But you look at the AFC East, and you look at the quarterbacks in this division, buddy. It's Tom Brady and it's everybody else, and that's why this team's 9-0. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to take a short break with Gary Gronecki. We'll be back here on Patriots Playbook.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your bank of of America Patriots Extra Points Visa Card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa Card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Gary Bedecky knows how to make a man happy. Welcome back to Patriots Playbook. I'm Mike Parenti, filling in for John Rook today and riding shotgun, Buddy Love from WSKO 790 The Score in Providence. Buddy, have you had your Patriots Sac Attack sausage today?
I haven't had it today, but I have tried it. And
have you tried
rather
them?
Rather good.
Are they good?
Yeah, it's rather good.
You know, I remember when they first debuted those, they gave us all a big bag of all these meat products. It was fantastic. They're still in my freezer. Okay, I just want to let everybody know that. I do plan on using them. Barbecue season has kind of ended. If you haven't noticed, we got some frost out there this morning. It was pretty cold. So we won't be doing much barbecuing, but I will be using those with the next time I light up the grill.
I got some in the fridge if you want them.
Oh, nice. There's a lot of stuff in that fridge back there, by the way. I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, buddy, I was thinking about this again on Monday. Who can knock this team off on its quest for a perfect season? And I'm not sure. At least on Monday, I was not sure I could find anybody. But I'm looking at the schedule here, okay? We've got 7 games remaining. Start off in Buffalo this week, 8:15 p.m. Next Sunday, hosting Philadelphia, 8:15 p.m. Back-to-back on primetime. But wait, hold on. And then Monday, December 3rd, at Baltimore, 8:30 p.m., back-to-back-to-back primetime games. Does that play any factor whatsoever?
I don't, because it's the exact same layoff. It's not like they're going Monday to Sunday. You know, Monday night game, traveling on the road and coming back to play a home Sunday, or even going on the road Sunday where they could cry like the Colts did, but we won't get into that. But the following Monday, December 3rd, I don't see that as a problem. The two teams I look at are the Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers are the
I
two
agree.
Teams that I look at.
But I got to admit, though, these 8:15 games, it's a late night. You get up a little bit later on Monday morning. I feel like you kind of start a little bit behind the eight ball on Monday. And if you have a bad Monday, you have a bad Wednesday, you have a bad... You know what I'm trying to say here? If there's any
snowball.
Sort of carryover effect, it could be a snowball effect. Again, we're probably reaching here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. That's what we do best. We reach. I think the Buffalo game is tough. Okay, I said that. Philadelphia, we both say no.
Not at all.
They're a mess. I mean, Andy Reid's a mess. His kids are running drug emporiums. I don't know how he can focus on football. But give him credit for the comeback against Washington. But again, this is a team that has not won back-to-back games all season.
You can just scratch that off now.
I'll scratch it off.
Worry.
Baltimore, somewhat of a tough place to play. We know what the defense can do. They still can't move the ball.
They have absolutely no offense. And Willis McGahee has provided nothing on the list of things they expected out of him.
Yeah, he's fulfilled about 2 of the 10. He's got a checklist, and he's checked off 2.
Yeah.
Show up to practice, put the uniform on.
40-yard touchdown run, 80-yard game.
Yeah, and that's
good job, Willis.
That's been Willis McGahee for the Ravens this year. Pittsburgh, we both agree it could be a tough game. Even though it's here, Steelers number one in defense in a lot of categories.
I'm not saying these teams are going to come in here and win.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is these are the teams that could give them the toughest challenge and maybe pull off the upset. The Steelers, I think if you can protect against the Steelers, you can pick that secondary.
Oh, I agree 100%.
And Polamalu is a great player, but you start looking at the Ryan Clarks and
he'll bite on play
Anthony Smith and McFadden's and Ike Taylor's of the world. You can throw on those guys big time.
You know, our next game that we're going to talk about, December 16th, the New York Jets.
There is
come
another one.
To Foxborough. And it just brings me to an interesting point. One of our emailers just sent us in. Bill from Maine forwarded us an article from the Associated Press by Tim Dahlberg talking about point spreads in Vegas. Not that any of us gamble. I don't condone that stuff, buddy. You don't condone that stuff either.
Bad.
But there's a great quote from the Las Vegas Hilton's Jay Cornegie. He says, "Who knows what we're going to see when they host the Jets? It might be the highest point spread in the history of the NFL."
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Give me an early read on the point spread for that game.
Seriously? It's going to be more than that Chargers 49ers Super Bowl, which had one of the highest point
spreads.
What was that? That was like 22 it opened
was
up
it
at.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was very, very high.
Can you imagine a 3-touchdown point spread?
In a Super Bowl.
In
the game you're showcasing to the world.
Supposed to be the two most evenly matched teams.
Yeah.
Right.
That
was not the case.
They covered the spread in the first 3 minutes.
I think everybody in the world picked San Francisco. Is there one person who actually like rode the Chargers into that game thinking they're going to make some money?
Maybe Natron Means Mom. That was about it.
And she had a glittery jersey with his number on the back.
She's like, "Go Natron." I know they're going to lose. I'm just saying it.
That Jets game, that's an interesting game to me. For obvious reasons. Okay,
we got
the storylines and the Spygate and all that stuff, and Eric Mangini, despite his appearance on The Sopranos, broke the code and ratted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we all know that. What kind of incentive is there to bury the Jets? We know it's there. But can Eric Mangini do it again? Can he come here to Foxborough again with a perfect game plan and knock off the Patriots? He did it last year, albeit in the regular season. They came back here in the playoffs and lost somewhat of a competitive game.
I have a one-word answer for that. No.
Okay. On to the next game. No, I generally agree with you. I don't think the Jets are going to come in here and do much. I don't think Kellen Clemens is going to do much. These last three games, Miami's coming here. I mean, the trap was going to Miami in October. That's the tough game. They got that out of the way 49-28. I don't know if we're too worried about Miami coming here.
They'll be packed up by then. They talk about baseball teams who pack up in August and
they'll be
making
in.
Their hunting plans.
Yeah.
That's the same way with the Miami Dolphins.
Playing for the number one pick.
And then we go to the last week of the season.
Then we go December 29th at New York to face the Giants. 8:15 on the NFL Network, by the way. So if you live in Providence, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, etc., and don't live in Boston or New York,
or you don't have DirecTV,
you're in some trouble. You better call your cable provider now. And that's the word I heard there, because if you live in Boston or you live in New York, you get it on local TV.
I guess there's some packages that are offering. I really don't know.
We're not going to get into that too much. I'm not a big fan of the NFL Network doing games during the season. It's paying for football. I don't like that.
A big historic game too.
Can you imagine this game being the one? They're 15-0 going into New York, and it's on the NFL Network. And more than half of New England can't get the game.
Well, there's going to be a lot of families hosting Christmas parties on December 29th.
There's going to be cars overturned in the
streets,
buddy.
In a place where they can watch it. And to not be able to see this for all the fans is unreal. But now, it's another story for another day. The thing I think about the Giants, their secondary is horrible, but they're one of the few teams that can hurt the Patriots with pressure with the front four and cover with seven. And if they could do that with a little better personnel in the secondary, I'd say they had a shot.
A little better personnel.
I know you're a big R.W. McCorders guy.
Listen, I don't want to get into it too much. Tom Casale already brought it up to kind of bust my chops a little bit on the crossover. I am a true blue, diehard New York Giants fan. I see zero chance they win this game now. After what I saw Sunday against Dallas, their performance in the second half was disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. They had one scenario, buddy. It was a third and one. They were still down by four, I want to say, at that point. Maybe still a three-point game. It was still a close game at that point. They had Barber in the backfield stop for 4 yards. Missed the tackle. He gets the first down. Next plays a 50-yard touchdown to Terrell Owens. Game, set, match.
That isn't the first time Marion Barber has done that to a defense.
No, it's not. But you know what? It's not the first time this defense has done that in big spots. Terrible, terrible tackling. You cannot – and once again, the pass rush disappears in a big game. Okay? Strahan, Umanura, nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found on Sunday. Credit the Dallas O-line for blocking, and I'll credit Tony Romo because he moves in the pocket well, but no semblance of a pass rush at all. None whatsoever. And you cannot do that with that kind of secondary. You made that great point. And this here in New England is a very good blue-collar offensive line, a very cohesive unit. They've been together the whole season. They have the continuity. They have all the buzzwords you like about an offensive line. They can block. They can put the tight ends up front. They can block pass rushes. If they pass rush, if they block Umanura and Strahan, they're going to Brady will destroy that secondary. He will destroy that secondary.
I look at them a lot like Pittsburgh uses the blitz to create the pressure, whereas the Giants can just do it with their front four. That's all their pass rush.
And the linebackers aren't going to rush. Antonio Pierce is not going to come up and make plays, and Jabril Wilson's not going to make plays because he'll miss the tackle by 10 yards.
And that's
not going to happen.
That's why I go back to this week with Kelce coming off the edge.
Yes.
Creating problems.
You got Kelce and Schoble have to get going. Yeah,
Aaron Schoble is just
a thorn in
the side of the New England Patriots. He has been since day one. And if they can get the pressure off the edge with the noise, having to go on the silent count, that's where you're going to get a difference in the game.
Yeah,
maybe,
I agree.
Maybe they can put the Patriots in a few second and 16 after a sack, and then they have to put the ball in the air, and then you do cover, and then maybe you keep Moss underneath, and you get the punt. And that's where you're going to win the game with your punt return yardage, with the hidden yards that people don't see in the punt and kick game.
And another thing about the Giants, Eli Manning is a mistake waiting to happen against this defense. Believe me when I tell you. And you saw it Sunday against Dallas, okay? They're down by, I want to say, what, 10 points in the fourth quarter?
I remember.
Yeah, two touchdown game in the fourth quarter, about six change to go. Clock's winding down. They're running the no huddle. They're all walking to the line of scrimmage. No sense of urgency. They're taking delay of game penalties in big spots. The leadership, terrible. Manning's leadership, and Eli Manning, not Peyton, in case you're tuning in just now. Eli Manning's leadership is not good. It's not good.
That's Super Bowl 39-esque with Donovan McNabb walking to the line when, you know, there should be that sense of urgency.
Oh, just strolling, sashaying to the line of scrimmage.
Go. We might lose this game.
Yeah, ho-hum.
What am I going to do
next week?
It's
only the Super Bowl.
Week?
Yeah, yeah. What am I doing tonight? Where are my dinner reservations? That's what Eli was thinking. Anyway, that game, I don't see it. I agree with you on the premise of Buffalo and Pittsburgh being the toughest games. You look back at the first half of the schedule, buddy, that was the tough part. I mean, having to play San Diego here, we all thought was going to be the tough game.
Yep.
Going to Cincinnati, to Dallas, to Miami, where they've had problems for years, and to Indianapolis, and coming out with wins in all those games. Three blowouts.
I thought Cincinnati gave them a fight. It was one of those things. The crowd was in it. Yeah, they were able to put a lot of pressure on. They got
really
into
indicate.
The backfield. No, the score doesn't indicate, but they put the most pressure, and they frustrated Brady early on. And before Moss made some of those great acrobatic catches that he made in that game. I mean, it was a pretty competitive game there, and when Samuel made the pick as they were driving just before the half.
Yeah, you know
what?
You're right.
You know, there's big plays. I thought Cincinnati played the Patriots very tough, a lot tougher than the score would indicate.
I will say this. I'm going to sound like a hypocrite here. I can't give you the team that's going to beat them, but I think they will be beaten. I just don't think it is possible to go 16-0. I will go on the record and say that now. I think everybody's entitled to a bad week. We'll see what happens, but instead of taking a break now, we're going to go to some audio in just a minute from Gary Gradecki, and we are going to get some comments today from the locker room from Roosevelt Colvin, Larry Izzo, Chad Jackson, and Eddie Jackson.
Very lively.
The Jackson 2, not the Jackson 5. We're going to get a little bit of everything from Gary in just a minute. But just going back to that for a second, buddy, yay or nay, undefeated? One-word answer.
Just for me, I'm going to go yay now. Going to go yay.
You have your pom-poms on.
I wouldn't say it's pom-poms. I'm just looking at the competition coming up, and I really got to go with the yay at this point in time. With what they've been through, you know, they've been through the jungle and the tough part, and now it's like they're walking through
the
grassy knoll.
Right. Yeah. You know what? We'll have to agree to disagree.
Hey, that's what it's all about, right? We debate. We take our sides. Nobody throws a punch. There
that's
isn't
right.
Splenda
no
flying across the room.
No. Let's kick it over to Gary. Some locker room audio from today. Roosevelt Colvin, Larry Izzo, Chad Jackson, Eddie Jackson. You're going to hear from some players in just a few minutes.
Yeah, I watched that because my buddy Sean Phillips, you know, he plays out there in San Diego. Kleck is still in Indianapolis, so got to see that. Sean's still stealing my sack dance. It's ridiculous. But he made an improvement on it, so I'm going to have to do something a little bit better. But it was a good game. I think, the fans are looking for. They're looking for entertainment, and each and every week you find good games like that, and the coach definitely provided a good example of football, and so did the Chargers.
Did the outcome kind of surprise you? I mean, you guys played in the absolute before. You know how tough they are, mm-hmm. and then to be down that early.
Yeah, you know, obviously you look at the Colts and you look at consistency, and, you know, those are two things that are sort of matched together. You know what the Chargers are going to bring, defense and a high-powered offense. And so, you know, they definitely had the tools to beat the Colts. The Colts definitely had the tools to beat them. I think it was a great game and, you know, well-deserved for the team that won. But for us, I think we have to try to, you know, look at that from afar as a fan and focus on, you know, as a professional, as my duty is to try to focus on Buffalo now.
Obviously, you have 5 days off. It's good physically. Mm-hmm. Do you think sort of mental benefits do you think you guys have benefited from mentally?
Well, I just think it gives you opportunity to get away from the monotonous every day coming in, doing the exact same thing, seeing the same, you know, situation repetitively, and you know, like you said, to get out and be able to do something else on that Wednesday, that Thursday, that Friday, or you know, Sunday, shook it up a little bit. Does it make you hungry? I don't know. It just depends on the player, but for me, I think it just gave me opportunity to relax a little bit and let some of the bumps and bruises that you may have accumulated over the first, you know, 9 weeks of the season kind of rest up and try to hit these last few weeks hard as you can.
Does it help you to have seen these guys live, gone up against them once or this year, as opposed to just film work like you usually prepare for teams?
Well, I mean, you can't think. Obviously, if you have a history with the team or you've played them before, then, you know, an immediate history, then, yeah, I think it gives you some type of knowledge of what or how things may happen, but you have to, you know, prepare yourself that week for what you're going to see on Sunday. And sometimes teams don't show you things. I mean, just like us, you know, we played the Colts. They probably never seen this lineup in that defense before. And so Buffalo will probably do some things that we probably never seen before. And so you just have to make sure that you're, you know, making sure you're in the correct position, reading your, you know, your assignments and knowing where you're supposed to be. That take care of the rest. But, I think, you know, you play a lot of teams that you only play one time a year, and so, you know, you can't use that as an excuse to win or lose. You just got to go out there and perform.
How will the primetime starts affect your preparation during the week, or how do you like playing? Some guys like it, some guys don't like it.
You know, it just gives you an extra couple hours of rest if you're playing on Sunday night. I think, don't we play on Sunday night?
Sunday night.
Yeah, so it's at 8 o'clock, so you get an extra 7 hours. For me, that's what I use. I sleep at night. I sleep about 7 or 8 hours, so hopefully it'll make me fresher. We'll see what happens. But
would you prefer the 1 o'clock, or does it not bother you?
Yeah, I prefer to get it done, but if they want to put us on national TV, hey, let's go get it done. It doesn't matter to us. I think a lot of guys in the locker room try to go out and perform regardless of the situation. If it's 1, 4, 8, nationally televised, or whether we're in the parking lot, I think, you know, we're going to try to go out and play, you know, tough, smart football, as Bill always says, and try to execute at a high level.
Larry Izzo.
Bye week. It comes and goes in a hurry, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's a good chance to get away and, you know, refresh the mind and the body, but we're back here ready to roll. Big game this Sunday. at Buffalo. It's going to be a big challenge for us.
It's always easy to come back when you're 9-0, though, isn't it?
It is. You know, it was nice to just get away from it a little bit and get a chance to recharge the batteries. We're excited to be back and got back to work today. And we got to have a good week of practice and prepare, you know, for a tough challenge this Sunday.
Seems like this Buffalo team is a little bit different this time around, the last time you faced them.
Yeah, definitely. They've, you know, they're a hot team playing a primetime game at home. It's going to be a big challenge for us. They're playing a lot better. But they, you know, they do a lot of good things in all three phases. Tough challenge for us.
All I need.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
You got it.
Special teams are always a key part, but especially with the return game they have, how big a challenge they pose in that area?
It's an extremely talented group. You know, they got a great kick returner in McGee, and then Roscoe Parrish has made some big plays for them in the punt return game, and they got great guys, solid across the board in coverage. Consistently, they're one of the top groups in the league, so it'll be a big challenge for us in the kicking game, but we've been playing well, and we just need to go out there. Everybody needs to do their job and, get it done.
Larry, can you talk a little bit about that, about how your special teams have sort of progressed this season? You're getting good returns. The punting game is starting to come through. Stevens kicking well. Can you just talk in general about how the units are performing?
Well, you know, we've made some, plays in the return game. That's been a weapon for us, and it's going to need to continue to stay that way throughout the year. And coverage-wise, need to continue to improve, get better each week. Always something that, there's something, it's never perfect, but that's what we're, our goals are, is to go out there and be perfect every week, and, hopefully we can continue to get better in that phase.
What do you think of the plays the Chargers made yesterday in their return game against the Colts with the two touchdowns and so forth? Did you happen to see them?
Yeah, obviously, those were big plays for them. And if you're on the Colts, obviously it was a big play. That probably hurt them a little bit. But just goes to show you how important special teams are in this league, and how anytime there's a big play in the King game, it can affect the outcome of the game.
Was it surprising to you how quickly the Colts did get down? I mean, you had played them the week before, and it's a tough battle.
It's the NFL, and every week is a challenge, and we understand that, and that's why we're preparing this week, and got to go out there and perform on Sunday. Every week, any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody.
Knowing what you know about ahead, I'm really surprised with the way it
ended. Adam's made a lot of big kicks in his career. I'm sure that is one he'd like to have back, but he's a clutch guy. He's shown that obviously here, and I'm sure that he's upset about that, but, can't do anything about it now.
How much time on a bye week do you get to spend watching other games like that, or do you try to get away from football?
Got a chance to catch out some of the late games yesterday. It's a little weird when you're watching, at 1 o'clock on Sunday and you're out there playing, or 4 o'clock, whatever it is. So you just try to take advantage of the rest. And, like I said, recharge the batteries and be ready to roll today. Had a good practice. We're going to need to have a good week of practice and be ready to go.
When you watch a game like that, are you analyzing stuff, or are you just watching as a fan? Do you kind of breaking it down as you watch it?
There's only so much you can really see from the TV copy, but, I watch certain things if I happen to watch a game in the kicking game, but you really never really know what went on until you see the film.
Still never really quite a full fan. You still sort of think in business when you
You have your teams that you would like to see take a loss, that might affect, our situation. Sometimes you look at those sorts of games, but, I usually just watch, casually with marginal interest.
Did you see any of the Steeler Browns?
No.
That was a pretty... I mean, as close as it was, and you played the Browns. They almost. What are your thoughts now on the Steelers? I mean, they're down the road. But
I don't even. Obviously, you said it's down the road. I'm focused on the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm. Larry, what was it like to have Troy back out there?
To be honest with you, I was really focused on what I was doing today. Didn't really pay too much attention to who was out there other than myself.
I mean, he's one of the leaders on this team. I'm sure you guys are glad to have him back.
Yeah, Troy's, you know, he's done a lot for our organization, and he's a great leader on and off the field. And whenever we get him back out there, it'll be a positive thing for our team.
Chad Jackson.
You know, it's a long time, you know, since February, since I had my injury. So I'm just glad to be back on the field and, you know, give me an opportunity to go out there and play again.
Was there ever a doubt in your mind that you would be activated?
Yeah, it was. You know, I had some doubts. You know, they probably put me on IR or didn't activate me. So, you know, I was a little worried, a little scared. But, you know, just had confidence. You know, everything worked out fine.
Where do you see your role being on the team now? Pretty deep at receiver.
I don't know right now. Like I said, I'm just going out there just trying to get back on the field with his special teams, you know, doing a couple of plays or whatever. But, you know, I just don't want to be a special team guy. I want to, you know, play receiver also. So that's what I'm here to do. And, you know, whatever it is, just to help out the team.
How much farther along are you at this point than you were in your rookie season?
I think I'm a lot more. You know, Bill, he's giving me good credit, so that's good coming from him. And, you know, I'll just stand in my playbook and, you know, stand on top of things. You know, I hope everything works out.
Healthy and ready to
go. Yeah, I feel great. I feel my knee is doing well. I'm doing fine.
Has the process been frustrating for you in terms of come in and try and play and then get injured?
Yeah, I had the hamstring and the groin and everything last year, and, you know, with the ACL last year also. So it was tough, you know, coming in my rookie year. And now, you know, all these guys are doing great, you know, thinking to myself, you know, how can I help? But, you know, I just got to have confidence in myself. You know, I think they'll have some fits in for me. No, not at all. Actually, not just playing. Moss, he's been a great guy to me. He's been a great role model to me. And he sat me down and talked to me for a minute, you know, told me about the game and, you know, what he's learned from and what he's taken from. So, yeah, he's a good guy.
What special teams units do you play on? Can you play on?
Pretty much they got me on all the lists right now. So whatever they put me on doesn't matter to me.
Does it? You know, you got hurt playing on special teams in the AFC title game. Does that ever enter your mind at all when you're playing that?
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. When I was out there today, I was like, man, I got hurt on this. Why am I back on this? But, I mean, you know, it's just to help out the team. All right. Appreciate it.
So hey, Jackson.
Back on the practice field today for the first time.
Felt pretty good, you know. Been a long haul. Just wanted to come back out and try to get a little work and see where I was at.
Based on coming to a new team in the offseason and being at this point, do you feel comfortable with where you're at as far as being game ready?
I feel pretty comfortable. I've been putting in pretty hard work for about the last 6 weeks trying to get myself ready for, you know, for the game, so I feel pretty good at where I'm at right now.
And looking at you know, trying to make a mark on special teams, is that where your mindset is?
Oh, yeah, especially, you know, I've been working out at corner as well, so, you know, wherever they put me in, I just want to go in and work, you know.
Eddie, does it help your confidence at all that the fact that the team was willing to invest as much as they did in to get you and to keep you this long and finally to bring you back in?
Yeah, anytime a team picks you up while you're hurt, you know, willing to work with you to get back to game shape, it feels pretty good.
What's impressed you most about being here with this organization?
It's real family-oriented. Not like other places where I've been, this team is real close. Everybody's real tight, and I really, really enjoy being around here.
Have you ever seen a chemistry quite like what's going on in this locker room right now?
It's almost kind of like a college atmosphere. You know, in college, all the guys are real close, and that's the type of feeling that you get around here.
Most guys after 9 weeks looking for a break, but you've been waiting so long to play. Was it kind of like, oh, God, another week you got to wait?
Yeah, I didn't even leave. I just stayed up here and trained, you know, because that's all I've been doing the past 6-7 months. So I didn't even go home. I just stayed up here and, you know, and rehabbed and tried to get myself ready.
You were teammates with Wes Welker in Miami as well. What are your thoughts on what he's been able to do and the rest of the wide receiver core that, I guess, when you're playing cornerback out on the practice field, you're going up against?
I've always been a fan of Wes Welker. He's one of the hardest workers we got. He was like that in Miami. So, I mean, I knew what he could do. I think, you know, also Sammy Morris, you know, is another guy that I knew he could do. And, you know, it's just a good group of guys here, man. I've been impressed so far with what I've seen. I'm just ready to get out there and join them.
I think they have you listed as a cornerback, but, you know, on this team, a lot is made about versatility. Mm-hmm. Are you able to play safety at all?
Yeah, I mean, I played safety when I was in Carolina with the Panthers. I played some safety and nickel and corner. So I think I can fit in pretty good.
Thanks. Awesome.
All right, you just heard from Roosevelt Colvin, Larry Izzo, Chad Jackson, and Eddie Jackson, the latter two just activated off the physically unable to perform list, and you heard them talk a little bit about the long haul and dealing with the injuries and the frustration. Eddie Jackson put himself on lockdown this week during the bye, stayed here, worked out the entire week, just kept trucking to get back there on the field, and we may see him a bit. We may see Chad Jackson. My question about Chad Jackson, buddy, before we get to some of the emails that we just received, what kind of role now does he have? Because you bring in all these receivers during the offseason, Wes Welker, Randy Moss, Dante Stallworth. You bring in Kelly Washington, and he doesn't even get a lot of opportunities as the fourth guy. Now Troy Brown is back. Where does Chad Jackson fit in?
It's the million-dollar question. I mean, where do these guys all fit in? I think it's going to be easier to fit Eddie Jackson in than I think it is going to be to fit Chad Jackson in.
I agree, because you can always make some kind of different formations on defense and do some things and tinker with what you have. And they love getting guys who are versatile. And you heard Eddie Jackson just now talk about how he can play safety and if needed. And that, again, is the versatility on defense. You want to be able to disguise some packages and confuse opposing offenses. And a guy like Jackson could contribute as that veteran presence in the backfield. Yeah, you're pretty solid there now, obviously. And they've been fairly fortunate this year as opposed to years past with injuries. And we've seen some disastrous years where the whole secondary is going down and even receivers. It's almost ironic that they've managed to keep just about all the receivers healthy this year, which is like the first time ever in the Bill Belichick era.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking for Earth, Wind, Moreland's locker room.
You figure guys like that are going to come back eventually. So far, they have not. Our discussion about Eddie Jackson in the secondary in general brings us to one of our emails. Dugan in Alexandria, Virginia. I hope I said that right. Dugan sounds good. Mike and Buddy, with all the hoopla, and rightfully so, surrounding the new players in this Pats team, I'd love to hear your thoughts on two Patriots veterans who are quietly having solid years, Ellis Hobbs and James Sanders. Although neither has an interception on the year, Hobbs and Sanders rank third and fourth in tackles on this team. Your thoughts. We'll start, Buddy, with your thoughts.
Oh, I look at Ellis Hobbs, and, you know, he's always that guy who's going to get picked on because Asante Samuel is on the other side. 10 picks last year, having another solid season since coming back, re-signing. This week is a week, could be a big week for him, because I can remember him being locked up on Lee Evans last year in the season opener and doing a wonderful job in that capacity. And he might be more suited to play the slot in the nickel with his size, maybe matching up against a guy like a Roscoe Parrish, a Wes Welker-type receiver, you know, size and speed-wise going across the field. James Sanders does everything well and nothing great. That's the way I look at James Sanders. Yeah. He's just a consistently good football player like you see on this roster from spot 29 to 52, just guys who do everything well, nothing spectacular, and get the job done. And that's where you win in this league with your depth.
You know, I think guys like Hobbs love being the guy who gets picked on. It's like being intentionally walked or being the guy batting behind the guy who's intentionally walked. He's pitching around this guy to get to you. Okay? We're not going to throw to Asante Samuel. We'd rather throw to you. And it's almost a slap in the face that you can use as motivation. I think Hobbs has done that and done that well. And I agree with you 100% on Sanders. Not an outstanding player who jumps out at you, but a very solid player. He's a bit of a veteran now. He's been here for a couple of years. He's worked real hard. And we've seen it in the past with his ability to fill in for guys like Rodney Harrison or fill in for Eugene Wilson when they've gotten hurt. He has been called on to play a significant role despite very limited experience. And he's played in some big games for this team and has done the job. How he would be as a full-time starter, we don't really know yet. He's behind the depth chart, so we're never going to know that for a while. We're going to know that for a while. We don't really know what's going to happen. You know, if and when Rodney Harrison's career ends and when he decides to move on, is James Sanders the guy that slides in? You know, we find out.
He probably is more suited to play the strong safety spot than the free safety spot
with his skill set. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not complaining about the job he is doing at free safety. He's doing a really good job with Geno Wilson being out the last few weeks.
Now, another email. Scott from Washington, D.C. says, FYI, just a quick update on the Steelers, but I believe they put starting free safety Ryan Clark on IR today. That is the case, so we were mentioning Ryan Clark.
And not only him today going on IR, but down in Indy.
Yeah.
Dwight Freeney going to IR.
Out for the year. Season-ending foot surgery.
Can you imagine that? I mean,
that, you know,
it's a shock.
You got to wonder how much the Colts can handle or withstand at this point. They've had a lot of injuries, and it's been well-documented injuries on offense in particular, and now you lose your number one pass rusher. Is this defense good enough to hold up without its top pass rusher for the rest of the season now?
They went out and picked up Simeon Rice off of waivers from the Broncos, and they're going to tell him he's a different type of player. I mean, he's a good pass rusher. He's a little bigger, not as fast. And, you know, the Colts, is just basically penetration and get to the quarterback. And if the guy runs and you happen to get there on the way and can hit him, do it. And I don't know if Simeon Rice has played in that kind of defense.
You know, it's funny how much things can change in a week. If Indianapolis holds on, which they should have done, and beaten New England at the RCA Dome. Now they're the front runner for the number one seed in the AFC. They probably have it locked up at that point because you got to win the tiebreaker too. Now you got to win. You got to get two games past them. Now you can't do that. Now they go to San Diego the following week. Vinatieri misses a chip shot, which Larry Izzo mentioned during that brief audio clip we played. He misses a chip shot that he makes 10 times out of 10 in his sleep. Colts drop two in a row, and now you got to wonder. Are these guys even going to get a number one or a number two? Are they going to get a number two?
Right now, they're the three.
you may have to. You have a scenario where they may have to go on the road in the postseason to win two
again.
Games. Come here and win.
Yeah, home for one is a division champ, and on the road for two, and you'd have to wipe out probably. You're probably going to have to wipe out the 6-2-1 along the way.
Oh,
if you're going to do it, which is very tough to do, but think about it. They were the three seed last year. They won it.
Yeah,
the year before,
point,
the Steelers
too.
Were the six seed and won it. So, I mean, home field hasn't meant as much the last few years.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it means a lot to these guys, though, here.
Oh, it absolutely does, that bye.
This team has never lost a playoff game at Gillette Stadium.
And four times they've had the bye.
Yeah.
Four times they've gone to the Super Bowl since 96.
One other email that we just got in recently, our pal Dan. If you, the media, are so great in picking the best, then perhaps you can explain the Cy Young Award.
Well,
Buddy.
It's easy to explain
can
that.
Can you explain the Cy Young Award?
Well, it's a regular season award.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, they matched up well. If that happened at the end of October, then there's a crisis on the hands. But, sorry, CeCe Sabathia had a pretty good season. So did Carmona. So did John Lackey. And Roy Halladay getting a vote was kind of amusing.
Lackey's
and,
a dog.
You know, yeah, Lackey. But you look.
He is a dog.
The playoffs, out of those four guys, who was the best out of those four guys in the playoffs?
Well,
the other three.
The, best, right?
The other three pooped their pants.
Pretty disgusting.
We can say that on the air, right?
Yeah, we can say that.
Yeah,
you
I just want
to
make
go right
sure,
ahead and
yeah.
say that. You know, hey, you know what? I'm not a Red Sox fan. You know that. I would have picked Beckett, personally.
Yeah. Even
and,
you
and
as
I
a
go
Yankee
back,
fan.
Yeah, I go back to the last series at Fenway Park in September when the Yankees came back on the bullpen, that big, big seven-run, seventh inning, whatever it was.
Yeah,
the
Friday night
game.
The
Friday night game. That Saturday game was huge. How they coughed that game up, now you're really starting to sweat. Beckett came out, shut it down, pitched a great game. They won. That, to me, is Cy Young caliber performance.
It's called being the stopper, not the closer,
the
stopper.
Stopper. He was a
and
stopper.
And that was something
all year.
Clemens was early in his career from 86 to 92. He was always that stopper. You had that the losing streak going. You brought him out there to kind of flip the momentum back to your favor because really momentum in baseball is your starting pitcher.
I agree. And our buddy Dan, who did send us an email, also sent us a cool little picture of a penguin ice fishing. I think it's a penguin. No, it's got a tail. It might be a dog. You know what? I give up.
And what is it? What is it about?
He's ice fishing.
Oh, well.
Very fancy email from Dan. I appreciate that.
That is very creative, and
good
we thank you,
that.
Dan.
And good crossover. I think he was kind of knocking us for maybe suggesting that the media should be the ones doing all the picking. I think that's what Dan was getting at, but that's okay, Dan.
Yeah,
we love you anyway.
It wasn't my vote, and you know, there's a lot of opinions that I have that probably aren't right, and I'll be the first to admit that.
There's a lot of things I say that aren't right.
Yeah.
And we've already covered that in an hour. How do you like that?
Yeah, you got to hear Mike off the air sometimes. It's very amusing.
You don't want to hear that. I want to go back again to these matchups that we're talking about the last 7 weeks and all that good stuff. And I want to go back to this Buffalo game a little bit more in your thoughts here on this Buffalo defense, which has not been particularly great. You look at the stats, and again, they're at the bottom of the league and everything. You flip open your New England Patriots press packet from today, and you look at the tail of tape, okay? Yards allowed, 28th. Rush defense, 20th. Pass defense, 26th. What's going to happen here on Sunday?
You know what I chalk that up to?
Let's hear it.
Those stats can sometimes just be thrown out the window. Yards can be deceiving. And one reason it can be, we talked about it earlier, was special teams.
Yeah.
The difference, their special teams will pin a team back inside the 10. So if they go 75 yards, that's 75 total yards, and kick a field goal, it's only 3 points.
Yeah, so some empty
and you can
empty
make it
yards.
Up. So those, there's a lot of times those stats mean absolutely nothing.
Well, you know what? I'll buy that. Okay, because here it is.
I'm
touchdowns
selling.
Allowed, 18 apiece. The Patriots and Bills have allowed the same number of touchdowns. And as you pointed out, special teams, it looks like the Bills just allow more yards on their touchdown drives.
Bend but don't break.
That's a very good point.
You know, I think that's something. I hate those rankings. I hate when they flash the number one ranked rush defense. Yeah, that's because everybody throws on them.
Exactly.
What do you want? I mean, they don't have to run the football.
But I will say this, good news for Patriots fans. We're a little bit courtesy of our pals from Patriots Football Weekly
love
providing
those guys.
Us. I love those guys are the best. I don't even know how we can sit in these chairs or even be allowed to with what they've just done in the previous hour. Anyway, looking at the bye week stuff here, since 2000, the Patriots have only lost twice coming out of the bye week. And that was in 2000 to Buffalo.
That was the John Freeze game,
that
correct?
Was the John Freeze game. In 2002 to Denver. And that 2002 team was a little bit flawed, a little bit up and down.
Yeah,
they lost four in a row at one point, so we have to take that with a grain of salt. Since then, they've beaten Dallas, they've beaten Buffalo, they've beaten Buffalo again, they've beaten Buffalo again. And now for the fourth
notice the trend.
Time, I know, for the fourth year in a row, they're playing Buffalo coming out of the bye week. Odd scheduling.
Let's just say that's a popular thing I read in a Buffalo newspaper recently, that it seems like every time the Patriots play the Bills, they're coming off a bye with an advantage 2 weeks because you need it against that high-powered Jim Kelly. Oh, wait, Jim Kelly retired 10 years ago.
Sorry.
I do apologize
for that. A little bit of a faux pas. But again, does the bye week play a factor in a different way this year because this team is so hot you don't want that week?
I think it's good to get the rest and heal up. You have guys, Belichick said it today, and he says it a lot. Guys are dinged up this time of year. If you're not, you're not playing hard.
Yeah, that's true.
So it gives guys a chance to relax, get out there, get fresh. This is the perfect bye to have right in the middle of the season, week 10. And if you're playing 21 weeks, that's going to work out pretty nice because you may have two more of them.
That's true. They had, in 2004, a bye in week three.
Week four. Week three. You're accurate with that. They played at Arizona, had the bye, then went to Buffalo.
Oh, you don't even need a bye.
No.
You don't need a bye then.
No, that's too early. The teams that get it this late in the season, themselves, Tampa, the Jets, that's going to work out well for the Jets for their playoff push.
I like that. I like the way you think, buddy. Love. We're going to take a quick break with Gary Gradecki. We'll be back in a minute on Patriots Playbook.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sackatack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sackatack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
This is Patriots Playbook.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because okay. The backers are going to fast read over the top.
Next Sunday's game.
Want to go odd. 5,
Patriots Playbook.
51 mirror.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL season.
Sack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
And some of the fun stuff in between.
Even. 51 grapes. Even. 51 grapes.
And now, here's John Rook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome back to Patriots Playbook. There is no John Rook today. There is Mike Parenti. There is only Zool. No, actually, it's Buddy Love. WSKO 79 at the score, his own Buddy Love, my co-host for this afternoon. And we got an email from our buddy Dan emailing us back, says, I am just giving you a hard time, buddy. But who is the only 20-game winner? Answer the question, buddy.
And that was Josh Beckett. And
that's
I'm a Red
right.
Sox fan.
And I'm the Yankee fan picking Beckett. You're the Sox fan picking Sabathia.
I'm just trying to be objective.
Bizarro world here. Dan also says the Pats will probably lose to Pitt. However, I would rather see them get the pressure off going into the playoffs. When the Colts come down in the playoffs, if they make it, perhaps they won't bring the refs with them. Your thoughts on that? Going into the playoffs, do you need to lose a game? Do you need to lose one to kind of...
Dan, I hate to tell you this, but there's pressure in the playoffs, whether you've won or lost beforehand.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people say that. I think it was it 2003?
Michael Gee wrote
Michael
an article.
Michael Gee, that's right.
Why don't we go lose a
Let's
game?
Let's lose a game.
So that it'll be easier. It's not going to make
come
it
on.
Easier.
Now, hey, I'm a big proponent of the law of averages. You know, in baseball, I hate playing a team that's coming on a 10-game losing streak.
Oh, that's the worst. Because
you know they're going to win a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Football's different. You don't play every day.
No, it's once a week.
It's not like you change the pitcher every day, and one day some guy pitches way over his head and just happens to throw 7 shutout innings. It doesn't happen that way in football to me. You know what? Win as many as you can. Win every week. Go 19-0.
Do you think the 72 Dolphins are looking back and going, you know,
lost
we probably
should
have lost week 13 to the Browns. It would have made it easier to go 16-1 would have been easier than 17-0. This is a shot in history.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
I'm with you on Beckett, Dan, but I'm not with you on the losing a game. You think if they're 15-1, there's any less pressure?
No, it's pressure. The playoffs
we're still
are gonna
pressure. Because we're still going to be talking about them as one of the greatest teams of all time if they win.
Yeah.
Regardless of if one game won't change that. Now, one game will make it unanimous. You go 19-0, there's no question.
Oh, absolutely.
You go 15-1 and you win it. Okay, there's some debate. You know, maybe the 85 Bears. You can say whatever you want, but.
I think back, seriously, just quickly.
Yeah.
Some of the greatest teams you've seen.
Mm-hmm. Football now, we're talking.
I always think of the 85 Bears. I mean, that's I was 9 at the time, really starting to get into football as a Patriots fan. I remember them whooping it up on the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and they were an unbelievable team.
Let me ask
I thought
this.
The 86
is that,
Giants
is that your all-time,
were
is that your all-time great?
If
to
I'm
you?
Going with an all-time great, yeah, because I look at other teams that were pretty solid, and they just for that one year they were unstoppable, and it's hard to believe that they won a Super Bowl with all the animosity between Dicker and Ryan that existed, and you know still to this day it's got to kill Mike Dicker to know that Buddy Ryan got carried off the field too.
Isn't that crazy?
As the defensive coordinator.
You're related
you know,
to Buddy Ryan?
No.
No relation?
No more. Just Arthur Love, former Patriots tight end.
I love
Arthur
that.
Love.
That's right. Your long-lost cousin. Let me ask you this now, because I was getting into this debate about who the greatest team of all time is as of right now.
Yep.
And somebody said, you know, the 72 Dolphins were a little overrated. They had a soft schedule. Do you agree with that? Soft schedule, overrated team?
At that point in time, there's less teams.
Yeah.
Less games, and they had a soft schedule. So I'd say, yeah, and I think this Patriots team kind of has a soft schedule.
But 14-0 is 14-0.
Yeah, but you look back, that 85, you know, I'd like to know the 85 Bears. I mean, I can remember that game. They whooped up on Dallas 44-0.
Yeah.
They just absolutely destroyed Dallas. In the playoffs, they were unstoppable. The Patriots did score a touchdown, miraculously, in that Super Bowl 20.
They took mercy on them.
Urban Fryer should still be dancing that they actually scored a touchdown in that Super Bowl. But when I look at the greatest team of all time, I mean, just in my lifespan, that's the team I can look at. I didn't see the Steelers of the 70s, and I did see the 89-49ers, yeah. And I still think the 85 Bears were a better team.
Here's the problem with me. Here's the problem I have with picking on a soft schedule. Because you look back in the last 10 or 15 years, the teams that have had a shot late in the season to go undefeated, the teams that have carried 9-0, 10-0, 13-0 as the 98 Broncos were. And who did they lose to that year?
The New York football giant.
Mediocre New York football giant
team. The Meadowlands.
It has happened
before.
Amani
Tuma.
Those undefeated teams have gotten knocked off by bad teams.
Yes, they have.
So you got to give the Dolphins credit, regardless of who they play that year, for beating everybody. That's the way I look at it. And until somebody else proves that they can go a whole season start to finish without losing a game, to me, they're the best team of all time.
You know what's funny? You look back at that team and the Colts team of a few years ago, and not only did they lose one, but they lost two in a row.
That's a good point.
One thing about those teams, they ended up, the next week they went down to Miami and got stomped.
Yeah, it's almost as if, you know,
we lost.
We lost,
and
okay.
It's kind of the, you know, but the air's out of the balloon and nobody wants to blow it up again.
We're in anyway. Who the hell cares? I know they don't say that, but hey, you know, we were talking to our pal Gary Grudecki during the break, and I heard some rumors that there have been some free lunches handed out here during the Patriot Playbook show for the best emailer. If you guys want to buy us lunch tomorrow.
You send the best email and you can buy us lunch.
I'm telling you right now.
That's wonderful.
That's a great deal. You send the best email in and you get the privilege to buy us lunch. Is that how it works? That's not how it works.
No, we just call them the best emailer when they send food.
Oh.
Is it that?
Shoot.
It's that much of an honor to be.
Well, I really
feel
that
very
like a professional. Dan was very good. Dan, if you want to buy us lunch tomorrow, I happen to like the steak tip sub from DeAngelo's.
If he's ice fishing, though, I don't want whatever he's pulling out.
Yeah. Not a big seafood guy?
No, I'm allergic, so we'll be blowing up like a tick, rolling the ambulance back here and pumping me up.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, can't do seafood. So I'm out of the question for that. Plus, I'm trying to shed a few pounds here. I got kids to live for now, you know?
Well, you just brought me down 10 notches.
I apologize. Right. No reason. I didn't mean to. Emergency break on the show, you know?
All right, so we both agree. No need to lose a game.
Oh, absolutely
nonsense.
Not.
We agree with that. We disagree on the greatest team of all time. That's fine.
You didn't tell me who you thought.
I told you the 72 Dolphins.
Oh, God. I heard you say something about them. I didn't hear you say they were the greatest team of all time. You know, maybe they'll do that ESPN series. Remember they used to put those teams against each other? On ESPN, and they had the all-time, who was the greatest all-time team?
You
can
do
that
now.
They had some of the 60s Packers
team. There's a website. I think it's whatifsports.com.
No kidding.
You can simulate games.
Hmm.
That would be a great matchup. If the Pats do get that far, they get to 15-0, I want to pit them against the 72 Dolphins. I'm sure it'll be 72-7 if they take into account strength of players and all that other stuff. You know, how realistic is this website really going to be?
Let's put some of the worst teams of all time on there, can you? Can we put the 90 Patriots out there?
You can do whatever
against
you
the
want.
85 Bears? That'd
when
be something
you're,
else
you're behind
watch.
The keyboard, you have total control of everything.
And if I have that much time in my life, that's pretty sad. To watch a simulated football game off a computer.
This is all I do. My wife would love to hear that. I can tell you right now. We wanted to get back to something. You mentioned this during the break. You're getting back to your topic of discussion here. Who could beat this team in a playoff game here at Gillette Stadium? Forget the regular season. We already discussed that to death. Those last seven games, who could come in here and who could win? Who can come to Gillette Stadium in the postseason and pull out a victory, which no team has ever done at Gillette Stadium? It's happened at the old Foxborough or Sullivan or whatever they called it back then. That's happened. Never happened at Gillette. Who can do that now, this year? Who's going to come here in the cold, 5-degree weather in January and win a playoff game?
And I only threw one team out there, and it's just because I think they're just such a wild card, strange team, and that would be the Tennessee Titans.
Wow.
Hard-nosed team, Vince Young running around, making play. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, so don't flood it with emails that I'm insane.
Oh, 10 emails in now.
Already.
No.
No, sir, it's one of those teams. They kind of remind me of, you remember the 96 Jaguars? Kind of a team that got into the playoffs, did a lot of freaky things, didn't, you know, you got Mark Brunell running sideline to sideline, firing the ball downfield, making plays. Yeah, they got themselves to the AFC Championship game right up what used to be a hill over here. And weren't
and
that far away
out.
From going to a Super Bowl. Yeah,
the
exactly.
Lights out. I remember that.
You know, and a Willie Clay pick away from maybe going to a Super Bowl that year. So
it's a valid point. I will disagree with you, though, of course.
Well, it, as we've done all day. Disagree, but I'm yeah. just saying, if there's one team, I'm looking at teams that are going to make the playoffs.
Huh?
At this point in time, there's probably 8 teams vying for the 6 spots. It's the way I look at it at this point in time. You got Jacksonville, you got Tennessee, you got the Bills, and either this is talking about the wild card, those 3 teams.
The Bills
along,
won't make it.
You don't think the Bills
I'll,
will?
I'll put
so
them out right now.
Maybe you have those 2 AFC. You get 3 teams out of the AFC yeah. South this year.
Ooh.
Could you imagine doing that?
That's a lot of pressure to pick. All right, so let's look at this now. Now that we have that, we're going to look at the standings. Okay? Let's take a quick look on NFL.com and check that out. Who's going to go to the postseason here? Indianapolis is still going to get in my book.
Yep.
No question about that. Pittsburgh, 7-2, they're going to get in. San Diego, 5-4.
I think
they're
going to
beat out
division.
Denver.
They'll win that division.
KC
yeah.
will fall apart.
Denver.
They've already fallen apart.
Denver got destroyed by Detroit. They've lost every ounce of credibility in my mind.
Good point. Detroit's playing some ball this year, buddy.
That's wonderful. They're still the Detroit Lions.
They're 6-3.
It doesn't matter. They're the Detroit Lions.
All right. They have allowed 216 points.
Yeah.
So I guess,
there
okay.
we go.
All right. There we go. Okay. AFC East, who wins the division? Buffalo's making a push. I know Miami's still, has Miami been officially eliminated?
It's pretty, I think, yeah, the elimination
yeah,
party has occurred, and I think the
yeah,
Jets have been eliminated
they can only
already,
go 7-9. And
the Patriots'
seven.
Magic number is 3 for the division,
oh
by the way.
Oh, my God, that's a disgrace. No knock on the Patriots. I'm saying that division as a whole is a disgrace. That's the only division where there's no race.
No.
All right, so we have our 4 division winners. At least we think we do. We have Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, New England, San Diego. Now our wild cards.
Well, it's Cleveland, Jacksonville, and Buffalo, I think, competing for 2
well, you
spots.
Well, you think the Titans can come here and win. You got to put the Titans in.
The Titans, I apologize.
Come on
so
now.
So that's 4.
Tennessee. So now the other one.
Jacksonville.
I don't like Jacksonville. I've always felt Jacksonville was fraudulent. I felt like they were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the AFC. Remember when Tampa Bay came here a couple of years ago and they were playing?
Well,
they got destroyed. That's a fraudulent warm-weather team. And Jacksonville is no different. They came here in the playoff game, and I didn't know if they registered a pulse. I did not check with anybody afterward. It was a terrible game.
Yeah, they kind of just rolled in, rolled out. They were 12-4. They actually
they
had the better record in the game.
12-4 team.
They had the better record.
I mean, who did they beat for 12 wins that year?
Well, they didn't beat
look,
Indy.
So don't worry about it.
They lost to Indy twice. So
Cleveland cannot get in. There's no way with that defense Cleveland's going to get in. This is tough.
So
I guess I have
so
to.
So I guess you're going the two AFC South teams.
I guess I got to go with Jacksonville. I don't like Denver. I don't like Kansas City.
Yeah, well, Buffalo plays both Cleveland and Jacksonville
Ooh.
Upcoming. So even if they lose this week, they're 5-5. Who was 5-5 after 10 weeks in 2001, by the way? Your New England Patriots, and they
so
made
Buffalo's
it to the playoffs.
Win the Super Bowl.
No, I'm just saying that it can happen. You get in. You
yeah,
get in with 10 wins.
Things have happened. But you know what? We go back to our discussion at the beginning of the show and looking at the numbers, and I kind of think Buffalo is doing this with a little bit of smoke and mirrors.
Oh, I totally
mean,
agree
with that,
you.
You know?
The schedule,
all right,
just like the Patriots.
Can they do that for another 7 weeks?
Well, yeah, if you line up Miami one more time and you throw a few more of those
so-called easy games.
Well,
they've already
beaten
the Jets twice.
They got Washington left. They got the Giants left. They got Philadelphia left. They got some teams that they probably match up good with. Those interconference games.
If they go 500 against that schedule there, that'll be a miracle.
Well, I'm just going to put it simply. Any NFC team that is supposedly great is a marginal AFC team. That's the way I look at it now.
That's a good point.
I mean, the Bills should have beaten the Cowboys, and the Cowboys are considered the best team in the NFC at this point in time. I just think the AFC is head and shoulders above the NFC at this point in time.
That's an excellent point. We go back to Buffalo's 5 out of 6. They should have won. They should be on a 6-game win streak right now.
They should have beaten Denver.
That's the amazing thing. You know what? They should have beat Denver, too.
They should be 7-2 right now. They should be rolling in at 7-2.
Yeah, we know why they're not.
Because
they're not good enough.
It happened.
See, I don't look at people saying, and Belichick says it, and I know he's just saying it to kind of
pump
blow
up
smoke
the other
a little
team.
Bit and pump them up, but it's not, you know, well, they're a few plays away from being 8-1. Yeah, but the good teams make those few plays, and the bad teams don't make those consistently. That's why they're 5-4.
Both
but
of those were
game,
field goals.
I'll give them the Dallas game. That was kind of a fluke, the onside kick recovery, and then the 2 field goals on the timeout and all that stuff. That's a little fluky. I'd say 6-3 is pretty realistic for Buffalo right now. That's you know what I'll rescind my original pick. I'll put the Bills in the playoffs.
The Bills?
Let's do it. Buffalo and Tennessee are your wild cards.
Tennessee is one. I'm telling you, they're a team you have to watch out for.
I'm going to ride
in a one game.
I'm
scenario.
Going to off track betting, and they're I'm putting all card. My money on Tennessee. And if they don't, then I'm coming after Buddy Love. Let the record show.
Break my leg. I'm
You'll
small and
sleeping
feeble.
With
stay
the,
away from
the me. NFC is a mess.
The NFC. You...
We know Dallas has won the East. The Giants eliminated themselves on Sunday. Two games back. Technically three because they've lost both games to Dallas. So now they got to get three games over Dallas in the last 7 weeks. Dallas will not lose enough games for that to happen. So we know the Cowboys are in. We know Green Bay is in because as you and you said it right, Detroit's still Detroit. They're not going to catch the Packers. The South is just a jambalaya of mediocrity. Is that the right way to use it? Jambalaya. Yeah,
you could put together an all-star team there of all the best players from those four teams, and they'd still get eliminated in the first round.
They probably would. I guess I'd have to go with...
Probably Tampa.
I'll take Tampa.
A different team wins it every year, so it might be their turn.
Another gem here in the NFC West with 5-4 mediocre Seattle.
Yeah, they're the best of that group.
Yes, yeah. Okay,
and everybody's waited for Arizona, and it just has not happened yet.
As much as I like to think the Giants will rip my heart out of my chest again, I got to give them a wild card here. I mean, they still are two games better than everybody else.
It's them and Detroit.
Detroit.
I know I made fun of them, but they're a 6 seed in the NFC.
They're going to get in.
Which makes them the 12 seed in the AFC.
Who's going to catch them? Oh, you know, Washington's 5-4.
Yeah, Washington. Just
if Washington can beat the Giants at the Meadowlands, now you're in business. Now you got a split season series and you're an even footing. The Skins could sneak the Giants could blow this.
No.
Well, I've seen enough of the Giants. They could blow this.
You get the negativity side going. They are the Washington Redskins.
All right. We're going to give it to the Giants. We're going to give it to the Lions. And this is going to go back to our whole larger point, this whole 10 minutes of rambling on the schedule, because we asked the original question, who could come to New England and win a playoff game? And I still say it's Indianapolis. I still go with the Colts. They're still the next best team to me. I know Pittsburgh's played real well, and defensively they are outstanding. 126 points allowed, number one in the league in defense in a lot of categories. But who have they beaten besides nobody? They've beaten nobody. Now, I know we're going to go back and call me a hypocrite because I don't like to get on people's for schedules, but we are 9 weeks in, and I haven't seen them play a quality opponent yet. I need to see what they do here in New England. I need to see what they do here in New England in Gillette.
Well, look at their two losses. Look at the record of those two teams that they lost to. They lost to Arizona, and they lost to Denver. I mean, that
scares you a little bit.
Going on the road and not performing well. They didn't perform all that great against the Cleveland team that's up and coming, and we kind of have on the verge of the playoffs, so we can't say they're a bad team.
No, but 2-2 on the road. They do not win on the road, buddy.
No.
They're not gonna come here and win.
Load up at home.
They're not going to come here and win.
Split them at home. Split them on the road.
Indianapolis has won here. Indianapolis has won its last two games here.
Yeah?
A lot of people forget that. I know
they haven't won a postseason
thinks,
game.
No,
here,
they haven't won a postseason. That's a good point, too. They did come here in November, I think, and maybe...
Both Novembers.
Both were Novembers, and it probably wasn't too cold. There was no snow, so we can chalk that up to whatever you may. But they're still the best, and they still, in my book, should have won that game at the RCA Dome. But they did not, so we cannot give them the victory.
I'm curious
but that,
to
that's
see.
A more competitive game. If you got to bring Tennessee in here, you want to bring in the Titans. I know you love your Titans.
I just think they're a wild card team that can give a good team like the Patriots fits.
They're 3-1 on the road, buddy. You may be onto something here. These guys have actually played pretty well away from Tennessee.
You look over the course of years, there are teams that just... They get into the playoffs and they're a dangerous animal. That 96 Jaguars team, that's the team I think of them as a team that can be a dangerous animal with that wild card quarterback running around making plays.
How about we go with this? Nobody beats the Patriots here.
Okay, that's easier.
Super Bowl champions. We're going to kick it over to Gary Gordecki again for some more locker room soundbite. We're going to hear a little bit from Tom Brady from this afternoon, Mike Vrabel, Wes Welker, Adalys Thomas, and your favorite, Ellis Hobbs.
Who wants to start?
Tom, what makes Buffalo scary to you?
I think they've always played us pretty well, pretty tough. You know, I think this first game we played was a little bit of an indication of how their season's gone. I think they were in it early against us and playing really well, and I think we were just made a couple plays that distorted it. But they've been in every game. lost a few games on some field goals, and it could very easily be 7-2. So they do a lot of things well. A bunch of weapons at all positions. Offensively, they're very explosive in the kicking game. And defensively, I remember watching that Dallas game and all those turnovers that Romo was throwing. They can make a bunch of plays. So, and playing in that environment, I'm sure we've never been up there in a night game, but it looked like it was a raucous type crowd. So we got a lot to prepare for.
There's pressure to win, but how about the pressure of being undefeated? Is this such a thing of having pressure to keep undefeated?
I think the pressure is to win every time out. I think the pressure is to perform better than we performed the first 9 games of the season, because the challenge is each team now has that much more data on you, and we need to find ways to make improvements. And it was a good off week, and that we evaluated some things that we haven't done quite so well, and we're going to need to clean those things up, or else they'll come back in the end to really bite you.
Feel the difference having the national spotlight on you for all these weeks in a row?
It's been that way for 6 years. I mean, we've had, I think I'd rather be in this position than any other position. And it all comes down to how you play on Sundays. It all comes down to the way you practice and prepare, and then ultimately how you go out and execute. So I think there's pressure on for each player, you know, some guys to make teams, some guys to get on the field, some guys playing for contracts, some guys are playing for some great individual awards, and we're all playing for the same team awards. So there's always pressure, but pressure to win, I mean, that's been in the NFL since I've been here.
Is there added pressure since it undefeated? I mean, it seems like it's nonstop all over the airwaves, undefeated.
You know,
added pressure for you guys?
I try to win every single time I take the field. Every time I try to win in backgammon, I try to win in cards, I try to win driving to the bubble when we practice in the bubble. I mean, if that's pressure, then, you know, that's kind of competition and being an athlete. And if you don't want to be in that position, you may as well just, you know, quit the game. Because if it's too much that, hey, you're winning, and now all of a sudden there's pressure, then this probably isn't the right sport for you.
Were you surprised the way the first half of the season went going into the second half, that you are undefeated, that, you know, you've got games ahead of you and opponents ahead of you and things to that nature, you know?
Sure. I think every year you go in and you have expectations for yourself and for your team, and we've 9-0 and really playing the best offensively we played since I've been here. It's been exciting for this team to be in a lot of games. Really, the Indy game was the first time we were in a meaningful situation there in the fourth quarter, and I'm proud of the way we responded in those situations. And you know, I know that it's going to be, the next 7 games are going to be, have their own challenges. So starting with this week in Buffalo, and I hope we can perform the way we performed the first 9 games, you know, going forward. But I know there's going to be different challenges, and I think this team does too. But as long as we, like I said, prepare and sometimes expect the unexpected, just because, you know, every time we're out there, we seem like we're getting some different things. You know, that's really what we got to be ready for.
Tom, you guys were the darlings a couple of years ago. People liked you all. Are you embracing that role of basically being the bad guys now? I hate a team almost.
You know, you I think as you go along and as a professional athlete, you control what you can control, and you do the best you can do. And whether people like you or don't like you, really doesn't affect your job or shouldn't, or the way you perform. And I know we got quite a few fans out there, because, you know, I'm out there just as much as anybody else, and we get great support. And you know, it's just a matter of us you know, controlling our own feelings and the way we practice. And part of it's being mentally tough, is, hey, just because people don't like you or boo you, then you know, that's their problem, that's their issue they got to deal with. I don't know. I've never experienced a whole lot of criticism. So, I mean, even with this team and the success we've had, I think it's been a lot worse in other places. And I guess, you know, criticism when you win doesn't feel as bad as when criticism when you lose. And I'm just glad we're winning.
Tom, do you think it's really more, not hate, so much, it's envy?
what you have for the team?
I'm sure every team wants to be 9-0. Hell, I'd rather be 9-0 if I was 0-9. I mean, that's a big part of it. So if people are envious that we're winning games, then, you know, they can control that too and go out and play better. So, you know, we're trying to play the best we can play, and we're trying to win every time we take the field, trying to win every time we take the practice field. And, you know, it's a veteran group of players that understand that. And I think there's a reason why we have been 9-0, and I hope we continue to acknowledge those reasons and continue to play to those strengths that we've built up over 9 weeks.
Because you had so much success against the Bills last time around, do you assume they're going to make sweeping changes? And how do you prepare for adjustments that you don't know what they're going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think every team puts together a game plan that they feel is the best way to attack you, just like they did the first game, just like Indianapolis did, just like Dallas did, just like we do on our offense. I mean, we go in each week, and our game plan is going to be very different against what we do this time than we did last time as well. So, you know, things that work, you always try to build on those. Things that don't work, you put those in the back of the playbook for another team. But they're doing the same thing, and we got to prepare for you know, the things they did well, because that's probably stuff they want to go to, as well as other things that they've done throughout the rest of the course of the season that have worked for them. So there's some different wrinkles that they've shown and that we got to be prepared for, but I'm sure there's going to be other things that come up that we didn't have time to prepare for that we're going to have to adjust to on the field.
Tom, what does Dante Stallworth do so well?
What'd you say, Mike? That's a good one. What does he do well? I think he's a exceptional run after the catch type of athlete, and he's very fast and strong. He's elusive. You know, guys usually don't bring him down with one tackle. He's got very good hands, so it's just a matter of getting him the football, in position where he can do things with it. That thing's crazy. Thanks, guys.
Mike Vrabel.
Looking at Buffalo, being prepared that Lynch will play, that this guy will play in that
game. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think absolutely every time you go into a game, you have to expect, you know, the guys that, you know, you look at that are focal point of their team, whether they're injured or not, that most likely they're going to be out there. And, you know, he has been he's been a great back for him all year. A lot of carries, second to Willie Parker, I think. So, you know, he's proven that he can carry the load over the first half of the season, and I, you know, fully expect him to be out there.
Mike, what makes Buffalo such a scary team? I've heard that word used about here all the time.
Well, I mean, they've gotten back to throwing the ball deep downfield to Evans. You know, Lynch has done a great job, you know, running the football, gaining a lot of yards, not just 3 yards, but, you know, 12 and 15 yards. You know, at a pop, you know, he's not just grinding things out. He can hit big runs, and he's got great vision. You know, as a team, that they play very good on special teams. That's always been a, you know, huge key for them, is that they're going to win the battle on special teams. So it'll be a great challenge for us to get everybody out there and try to win their side of the ball.
You guys have had a couple weeks now, bye week, whatever. What would you like to improve on, after the break?
Well, I mean, I just think continue to try to do the things that we've done well to get us here, and then, you know, try to take a look at the things that we haven't done so well. You know, early in the year we struggled on, you know, down the red zone, you know, giving up touchdowns, and then that was where, you know, if teams scored, they just scored, you know, from the red zone. And you know, I think we won the Indianapolis game by doing that, making them kick field goals. I think that was a big key to us winning. So I think, you know, moving forward, that we would like to continue to try to do that.
What about the atmosphere? You expect something like, similar to that Monday night game when Dallas played there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were, you know, they're cranked up, and they made a big deal that they hadn't been on Monday night in 10, 11, 12 years, whatever it was. And, you know, I think the fans really rallied behind that, and, you know, they had fun with it.
What was your reaction when you heard it was going to be switched from day to
night? Hey, it's going to be cold and wet and snowy there, whether it was at 1 or 4 or 8:15.
Lynch seems to be good at getting those tough yards. Yeah, I mean, not just breaking it out, but in between.
Yeah, he does. He runs hard. I mean, he runs hard. He's quick. You know, you can see why he was a first-round pick. I mean, he's a good back, and he's helped their team win, you know, more than his share of games.
Mike,
Mike, how much do you embrace being the bad guy, the big 9-0 team, and everyone else is gunning for you guys and somewhat jealous of you?
I mean, I think that we try to put ourselves in a position every week to go out there and prepare and give ourselves the best chance to win. And, you know, we've done that, and we need to continue to do that and not look and get caught up in, you know, what our record is or, you know, how our opponents are going to face us because, you know, we have a 9-0 record. I mean, they're going to play hard against us. You know, it's a division game. You know, we understand what Buffalo brings to the table. You know, their defense is good. Their defense has always caused us problems. You know, they got guys that can cause turnovers and get after the quarterback.
Would it help to prepare that you've already played these guys once live as opposed to just tape study?
I think they've gotten better. I mean, I think they've certainly got better since they've played us. So I think that's the thing we need to realize that we're going to see a different football team than the one we saw, you know, here. Even though it was 7-3 early in the second quarter, 17-7 at halftime, we made a few plays. But, you know, they're a better football team than what we saw here.
You're going to see a different quarterback.
Yeah, you know, we saw, what, two snaps of, you know, JP. So, yeah, so. You know, he runs around and he's active. And, you know, you have to, when you're rushing him or when he's out in space, you know, you have to be just as athletic or try to be just as athletic as he is because he can make some plays with his feet and throw in football.
Any prediction? Come on.
Yeah, I think so. I think
we're Wes Welker.
We have a lot of room to improve, but, you know, the guy's been doing a great job at giving me time to where I don't have to fair catch and able to try and make some plays.
Wes, you've played on some teams that have not been this successful. How much are you embracing the fact that you're 9-0, the big bully, and a lot of teams pretty much don't like you guys? Being the bad guy, how much are you embracing that?
I don't know if I'm really embracing it at all. I'm just, you know, trying to take a day at a time and make sure that, you know, I do my assignments day in, day out, and doing the same things at the start of the season, you know, and keep doing those things now.
Plus, you're looking at the standings, saying, thank God that I'm on this team rather than Miami.
I don't really look at it like that, you know. I'm just, you know, excited with the opportunities that we have here and you know, just keep on working each day and you know, make sure we're getting ready for Buffalo.
When you don't fair catch, I guess it says something about your mentality. And does it sort of maybe convey something to your team?
You know, I think they know I'm going to take some chances and stuff, so try and hold those guys up even longer and you know, things like that, but... you know, the guys have done a great job of, you know, giving me the time to be able to, you know, return and not have a guy, you know, hit me right as I catch it or anything like that. So,
what's the biggest thing you notice from the way they were playing in September when you beat them and the way they're playing now? Because they are a hot team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They're playing really well, you know, and we have our hands full with them and you know, we're definitely have to put together a good game plan and make sure we're executing on all cylinders to be able to come away with the win.
Wes, why is this team so clearly adept at dealing with the national spotlight?
What's that now?
Why is this team so clearly capable of handling the national spotlight and staying on the even keel?
You know, I don't know. You'd have to ask some of the guys who have been here for a while, but, you know, we have, you know, a lot of great leaders and you know, a lot of veterans on this team who do a great job of, you know, making sure that, you know, this stuff doesn't phase us, and you know, we're just ready to play football. If that's what it's all about.
Is the atmosphere different here than it was in Miami the last couple of years?
I don't really like comparing any thing to Miami or anything like that. You know, I just, you know, I'm excited with the opportunities I have here, and look forward, you know, to getting better each day and make sure we're, you know, we're ready for Buffalo this week.
Wes, can you give me your best Lou Holtz invitation and tell me why Buffalo is such a scary team?
I don't know about being able to do the Lou Holtz part, but you know, I think, you know, they got a great defense, they got great special teams, they run the ball successfully.
Okay, thanks for listening into the audio. We had a little bit of Tom Brady, Mike Vrabel, Wes Welker.
And audio Buddy problems.
And some audio problems. Buddy loves the three favorite players right there. Buddy, got an interesting email from our pal Ken in Florida. It says, hey, forward this to Chris F. That's Chris Ferreira, the webmaster. I think the Pat should take a page out of the Texans playbook, so to speak. On the Houston Texans cheerleaders page, you can click on any cheerleader and have them dance for you.
Jackpot.
Or take a good, long 360-degree look at them. A good, long 360-degree look at them.
How you doing?
I look forward to seeing similar features with our own Patriots cheerleaders.
As long as it's with the cheerleaders and not the players, I'm in favor.
Ken in Florida, trymatch.com.
Supposedly it has a 99% rate. So.
You know, I saw the commercials for that. Not that I'm in the, on the market or anything, but I just, you know, I'll be sleeping on someone's couch tonight after that one. Buddy, can I come over to your house? I'm going to have a blanket and a sleeping bag.
Well, hopefully the heat's fixed and you're welcome over.
Dude, come on.
It's only
me.
Cold enough, you know?
So Chris F. wants to see the cheerleaders dance and get a good long 360-degree look at them.
That's unbelievable.
Not what we're looking for.
First of all, what are you doing on the Houston Texans website? And then how do you scroll over to the cheerleaders?
Yeah, he's a traitor. He must be. He's probably checked out every cheerleader page in the NFL.
Have you pulled too many strings?
Oh, come on. God bless Ken from Florida. I like Ken from Florida.
I do, too. We're just busting chops. We're allowed to here.
Some of that locker room sound, pretty intriguing stuff there.
Today was a good day in the locker room. A lot of the Wednesdays lately.
Can you tell me about the parrot?
All right. There was a parrot placed. I want to say it was between Moss and whoever the next locker is after Moss. It may be Chad Jackson.
Not a real parrot.
No, pretend parrot. Well, the group was around Brady. I happened to really hustle today to get up front. And Michael Foger was in back, and he said, can you tell us what Dante Stallworth adds or what skills he brings to the table? And all of a sudden, this parrot starts going, can you tell us what Dante Stallworth adds? Can you ask us? It was a great moment. And Brady laughed,
monsters.
And everybody laughed, and... let me tell you, it was a very creative moment, a very interesting moment.
Lightens the mood a little bit.
Yeah, it did. It kind of brought out the laugh. You look at Tom, and he was like, you know, like one of us, laughing.
Buddy, you had mentioned this during the audio segment before we had some problems. You wanted to do some picks for the week.
Yeah, I'm just...
We have a few extra minutes here because we're gonna close out the show with some tidbits from Bill Belichick's press conference today. So let's get into this here. Let's take a look at this week's slate of games. Give me some points, Fred. All
That's
for fun, obviously. We're only gambling with sweet and low packets that
yes.
are here on the desk. But you give me some games.
All right.
You pick some good ones. You give me the spread.
All right.
I'll give you a winner. You give me a winner.
This isn't a bad game. This is probably for like a football nerd like myself. At Cincinnati, 3.5, 3 over Arizona.
Cincinnati's getting 3?
Is home. I'm saying the favorites first. I apologize.
Okay. I'll go with Cincinnati.
You know what? It'll be fun either way. I'm going to go with Arizona.
That's because you football nerds can watch the yep. Cardinals and the Bengals on a Sunday.
If I can tell you, this past Sunday, I actually watched the Cardinals-Lions game.
Well, just some housework to do?
I sat on the floor with the kids, played with the kids. Don't get me wrong, but
you
it was on in the background.
You don't lift a finger.
Don't say that. I think my wife's listening, and she'll be calling in to tell all my dirty secrets.
We're going to get some emails from Miss Love.
Mrs. Love, that's great.
All right.
Cleveland on the road, a 3-point favorite at Baltimore.
Ah, I got to take Baltimore. Cleveland's coming off a pretty deflating loss to the Steelers. They blew the lead there. They probably won't move the ball much against that Baltimore defense. I can see some special teams coming into play. I like the home team in this one. I'll take the Ravens.
I'm going to go opposite of you again. I'm going to take Cleveland. They can actually score points. And if McAllister and Roll are out, they probably could put up some points like happened the last few weeks. This week, Cincinnati didn't get in the end zone, but they did kick field goals and did have some long, sustained drives.
You just dropped the bomb on Brian Billick.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well,
you've questioned his player development skills and his inability to build an offense in how many years?
I apologize, but they are very top-heavy when it comes to salaries and talent. They're not.
We're going
to
get an email from bbillick@ravens.com.
Well, you know what? If he's listening, it's the case. And you
we're
might,
in a draft.
And maybe you can have the third seed here with us next year.
I agree.
All right, at Dallas, 10.5-point favorite over Washington. We saw that stout Washington defense here a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and they'll probably give up in the third quarter like they did here, too. So I'll take Dallas. I will lay the points and take Dallas.
I'm
easily.
With you on that one.
Easily.
Green Bay, 10-point favorite over Carolina. It's at Lambeau also.
Oh, that's going to be a blowout. Green Bay, easily.
Here's an interesting one. The team that didn't select Reggie Bush at Houston, 1-point favorite over New Orleans with Reggie Bush. It's going to be an interesting chance for the Houston fans to get to see Reggie Bush.
Wait, that at New Orleans?
No, it's at Houston. So Reggie Bush is actually going to Houston.
I'll take Houston.
You know what?
Saints stink. I can't.
You know what?
I can't go to New Orleans.
If I had a coin, I'd flip it. I'm going to flip this thing. All right, I'm taking New Orleans. You?
Houston.
All right.
I told you, Houston.
At Indy, 14.5-point favorite over Kansas City.
Oh, my goodness. Gracious. Of all of the dramatic things I've seen.
Of all the dramatic things I've ever seen.
I got to take Kansas City. I'm sorry. I don't think this Indy offense is in sync right now. They're not the well-oiled machine we're accustomed to seeing. They're still putting points on the board, but
they've
gone through some real stagnant. Buddy, you've seen it. The Carolina game, first half was awful.
Oh, it was atrocious.
Two red zone failures against New England. They couldn't get the ball in the end zone. They're not going to drop 38-40 a game here. Yeah. This will be much closer than that. Oh, no way. No way.
And I know atrocious because I watched Detroit, Arizona this
yes,
week.
Yes, you did.
At Jacksonville, 3-point favorite over the San Diego Superchargers.
I like San Diego.
I do, too.
I'm going to put them on a little bit of a roll here. I've been saying it all year. They're going to get it going. I think that win over Indy, they escaped. They escaped. That's like breaking out of Attica and roaming the streets as a fugitive. They escaped with that game. This will spur the Chargers onto some great things.
Well, that's tremendous.
Actually, great things. I mean 9-7.
Yeah, I'm on the San Diego wagon for a little while here.
We'll take that one.
At Minnesota. 5.5-point favorite against the Oakland Raiders.
Minnesota by 40. So all right. I'm going to take the Vikings. There.
If Adrian Peterson's back.
Even if he's not
gonna
back,
load him up. Yeah.
It's not going to matter.
Minnesota a little bit more. Tavares Jackson.
Oh, we got time for one more here, buddy.
All right.
Give
I'm just going to pick.
Of the week.
Oop. All right. We're going to go. How about a playoff rematch from last year, this time
playoffs.
At Seattle. 5.5-point favorite over the Chicago Bears, the NFC champions. This was a great playoff game last year.
It was. Too bad Chicago is terrible this year and Seattle is just kind of mediocre. But I guess where I come from, mediocre is better than terrible.
So
I'll take Seattle.
All right, Seattle 5.5. I'm going to go with Seattle losing but covering.
I like it.
Rex Grossman's back, and he's ready to rock and roll. And we know how accurate he can be when things are going
the
well.
The gunslinger, Rex Grossman. God bless Rex Grossman. We got some stuff coming up from Bill Belichick. We're going to close the show with the press conference from this afternoon. Bill touched a little bit on Marshawn Lynch and the production he has had for the Bills, talking about the lack of depth at tight end right now, and, of course, Buffalo special teams. So we're going to get to that in a minute, but before we do, let's just sign off. Buddy, I want to thank you for joining me today. We had a blast. Two fantastic hours of radio. It's been a pleasure having you in here.
And thank you very much for having me, and it's great to be in here in this beautiful studio,
and I will enjoy. Thank you again for listening to Patriots Playbook. I will join you tomorrow with Chris Price of the Boston Metro. Now let's kick it over to Bill Belichick.
Well, we've had a few days here to really take a look at Buffalo, and as I said on Monday, been very impressed with them, the way they're playing. In all three phases of the game, they've won five, and they lost two on the last play of the game. This could very easily be a 7-2 team, and I think they're pretty consistent. They've been very good on offense at not giving the ball up. Obviously Evans is the head of the receiving core, outstanding playmaker with, Parrish and Reed, and they utilize a lot of tight ends in their offense. And, Lynch is having a terrific season, both in a running game and as a pass receiver. No matter which quarterback's been in there, they've been pretty efficient, and the offensive line has done a good job for them, too. Again, lack of turnovers and having some consistency in the running game. They've been able to maintain possession of the ball and keep their defense off the field. And their defense has done a good job in the red area. They've done a good job on the turnovers. They've got a bunch of interceptions. And they haven't given up very many points, which is obviously the big thing. I think the real strength of this team is a kicking game. They've got outstanding specialists. They lead the league in punt returns. They're always up there in kickoff returns. Mormon's a guy that can change field position in the punting game, and he also does a great job of punting the ball in plus 50 and getting things backed up. I thought the play that he made and Jenkins as the gunner made in the Miami game last week was a critical play in the game where they got the ball down on the 2-yard line, then got the sack for the safety, then got the ball back. I mean, that was kind of a big play in the game that was all really set up by outstanding punting and downing and coverage. So they're very good in the kicking game. They don't get many points on defense. They don't give up the ball much on offense. They got a good running game and a big play passing, pass catching receiver in Evans, and do a lot of motion and shifting around and stuff like that, like Fairchild has done up there for the last couple of years. And so it's a lot for us to get ready for. Glad we have the extra time. We'll need it. And this team's playing very well. They got their own style of play, but it's effective, and they're winning a lot of games. So. So that's where we're at this week. You know, Vince has been pretty good for us. You know, the first year we played him a little bit at left end, as well as nose. But he's, you know, ever since then, I mean, he's really settled into that inside position, whether it be on the center or on the guard. You know, he really pretty much does everything well. Plays the run well, uses his hands, good pursuit player, good inside pass rusher, power rush, obviously, but has some quickness to get on the edge. You know, he's in all a lot of plays. He's a hard guy to block, no matter what the situation is. And he runs well for a big guy. You know, he covers some ground on those plays getting to the outside. You know what I'm saying? Not fast compared to Rodney Harrison, but he's fast compared to a lot of the guys that play that position that weigh, you know, over 300 pounds. So he's smart, understands the game plan, very good on adjustments, stuff like that on the sideline, game situations. He's very he's a real bright guy. Well, you know, we've run into a few teams this year, Mike, that haven't really let you sub on third down. They just keep the same guys out there, and they kind of go no huddle, or they go they just don't let you sub on third down. So we've run into that several times this year. So the guys who are out there have to stay out there, and so that's limited our substitution. You know, when they don't sub, then we really can't sub. So there's been some of that. But, you know, he can rush. I mean, he does a good job. He presents you know, a different style of rusher, obviously, than, you know, a guy like Jarvis would inside. But that's, you know, I think that can be a good compliment.
With so many people outside the organization looking at the big picture of the football, do you count on the veterans to keep that focus on the next game? Is that how you achieve it?
No, I think everybody's got a job to do. I don't think it's anybody else's job to do. To do somebody else's work for him. I think everybody's got an important job, an important role on this team, and I think they all need to focus on it and do their job. I don't think somebody can do two or three other people's job or anything else. I think you just gotta, everybody has to understand what's expected of them and what we need them to do, and they need to work on it and do it. NFL notes. I mean, what are those? What do I know what you're talking about? I don't think the sun sets on that. I mean, you know, right now our focus is on Buffalo. That's all it's on. I mean, what else is there? It's a one-game season. So you saw how they played against Dallas on Monday night. I'm sure it'll be the same kind of intensity and atmosphere up there. And as I said the other day, you know, we played them here earlier in the year, 7-3 in the middle of the second quarter. You know, we couldn't get much going. We got a couple plays that you know, gave us a little bit of a cushion there before halftime. But, you know, we had a hard time getting anything going. And, you know, they took the ball and took it right down the field on us for a 7-3 lead. So I think they're playing well, as I've said. I'm sure there'll be a lot of energy in the stadium on Sunday night. And I hope we can match it. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, every phase of our special teams unit will get tested by Buffalo. You know, they got a good field goal rush. They come hard from the outside with, you know, Greer and Whitner, and inside with Langston Walker and Schobel and Denny and those guys, and do a good job on the punt rushes as well. You know, they've gotten a couple holding penalties on their punt rush, you know, when the protection team couldn't block them. You know, last week I think was a good example of you know, how they can really create some problems. You know, Miami had about a 50, I think it was about a 50-yard net punt, but they had a guy downfield, you know, who was obviously anxious to get down there and get to Parrish, so they got a call back, punted again. You know, he returned at 30 yards. So those are the kind of plays where they put pressure on you. You know, your coverage teams are thinking about getting downfield. They're thinking about, you know, making a play, and they make a mistake, you know, that type of thing. You know, our return teams will definitely get challenged. Mormon's a, you know, an outstanding punter, but their gunners, you know, Wendling and Jenkins have done a real good job, especially Jenkins, not only making tackles on the long field, but down and punts inside the 5 or inside the 10 and a plus 50. And their kickoff coverage, you know, they do some different things on that. They directional kick it a little bit. They bunch them up and twist and stack and give you some different looks, as well as just, you know, line up and spread out and cover. So they, you know, I think Bobby April does an excellent job with that unit. He has done for a long time. They're a good return team. They're a good cover team. You know, they make game-winning field goals, and they pressure the ones that you kick. So they're a real solid unit. You know, starts with good specialists, and they've got them. And they got good core guys, too. You know, guys like Stamer and, you know, those defensive backs that I mentioned, Wendling, Jenkins as a receiver, Aiken, Coywire, Hagen, you know, those guys do a real good job. And the tight ends, they get some production out of those guys too, you know, Royal and Neufeld and that group. So they get a little bit of contribution from everybody, all the different players. You know, even getting Hargrove back, you know, has given a real presence on the kickoff team. You know, we sent a big powerful guy down there like that. You know, he's lit up quite a few people covering kickoffs. And you know, so whoever's got to block him is it's a real challenge, too. Well, we obviously thought Wes was a good player, you know, based on the trade. You know, we've been playing him twice a year here for, 3 years? And you know, he's done a lot of damage to us, so, you know, we had a hard time stopping him on returns. We had a hard time stopping him on offense when he was in the slot. You know, he came up here and kicked field goals and kicked off against us too. We didn't do too hot on that either. So, thought he was pretty good. We've had a lot of trouble with him. So that's one of the reasons why we traded for him.